You're listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silverain, on Blog Talk Radio, mahoganysilverain.net. As a Miami nightclub owner, Paolo De Luca takes to heart the code, a life for a life. He also has a personal code, don't screw the help. However, it's getting more difficult for him to keep his eye off of his sexy bartender, Lyric Mason. He has no time for love, not with a rival gang muscling in on his counterfeit business. And when hell breaks loose, heads will roll. Lyric's grandfather warned her to stay away from the DeLucas. However, needing to pay for art school, Lyric does what she must do. But when she sees counterfeit bills filtering through the club, it brings her up close and personal with Paolo De Luca. Time stands still, and Lyric is ready to throw away everything her grandfather warned her about De Luca. Paolo De Luca, part of the Savage Bloodline series by Tamika Brown. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Nadine is the owner of a successful bookstore in a college town. It's complicated is the best way to describe Nadine and the rumors about her being a witch. 25 years is a long time for a rumor to fester and grow. She can't control the rumor, but given half a chance, she can control you. Every year, she seems to take a new lover from the college. Tyler is a college senior who let his curiosity get the better of him. Determined to find out if Nadine is truly a witch, he applies for a job at her bookstore. He becomes her new lover and Nadine stirs something in him. He's experiencing things he never knew he was curious about. However, Nadine's past has come back to haunt her as ex-lovers suddenly reappear. Can she continue to have her fling with Tyler and control her past? The Bewitching Bookstore by Scarlett Thomas Wolfe. Available for pre-orders on Amazon. Releasing on October 28th. Order your copy today. Hello and good evening. Thank you everyone for joining us tonight on the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silverain, and we've got a good show tonight for you. A very, very talented, best-selling author who is made the USA Today list, and her name is Tamika Brown. Tamika, say hello.
Hi, everyone.
So, Tamika, I know I've read one of your books, and I put one of them on my to be read list. But when I saw the Murphy Brothers saga, I had to put the rest of them on. So I got those.
Yay!
Because I enjoyed Paolo, but I'm going to let you tell listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, so my writing journey. Was kind of started for my job. I am a teacher by trade, an English teacher at that, and my students have always written in class, and it just so happens they had to keep a writing notebook. And so we actually, I used to enter them in writing contests and all of this stuff. So one year we were doing a writing contest, and my kids were like, Miss Brown, won't you enter something? And I was like, all right, I'll do that. So I wrote just this little short story, because it could only be like 700 words. And it actually won in the adult category. I had a couple of kids who also placed, and we all had our stories published in an anthology. Yeah, so it was really, really good. That was a couple of years ago. I actually wrote my first book for an anthology. It was a themed anthology called One Bed Only, and it got rejected.
Oh, no.
And, it got rejected. So I was like, okay, I'm good. I'll just extend it, and I'll send it to a publisher. And I extended it. Sent it to a publisher, and she liked it, and sent me a contract. And so that was actually my billionaire series. But Sips of Irish Cream, which is one of the books we're going to be talking about tonight, kind of came as a it wasn't meant to be what it actually turned out to be. I was very, okay, very excited about it. So that's kind of how my writing journey started. It's very unconventional. Started out with my kids, and it kind of took off this past year or a few 5 or 6 months. It's kind of took off, and it's been just a real, real blessing, and it's just been a ride.
Oh, that's amazing. I for one, will say,
yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you did not stop writing. I'm glad you published.
I'm glad I stuck with it. Because I always thought that I was a pretty good writer, but I just never thought it would turn into what it has turned into. Yeah.
Yes. We never think it's really got what we're going to, you know, do, but when we step outside that comfort zone, it just seems to happen, doesn't it?
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
Okay. So did you always want to be, or did you just kind of happened into it? A writer?
I kind of happened into it. Like I said, the way I started writing, the way it started writing. I've never asked my students to do anything that I wouldn't do myself.
Mm-hmm.
So when they wrote in class, I wrote in class.
Nice.
I was reading because I was still, I don't consider myself an avid reader now because I don't have time to read because I'm writing all the time. But back then I was an avid reader. And one day I was just like, you know what? I can do this. I can write something like this. So I started my story, and I found, you know, like I said, the anthology, and and it just kind of went from there. I just didn't stop, and I haven't stopped since 2020. I haven't stopped.
Oh, really? So you haven't been an author that long. That's great.
No, I have not. Have not been a publisher after that.
And you made the bestsellers list for USA Today. That is, I can't believe on that. That is awesome.
That almost did not happen because my sister actually talked me into joining that box set because I was telling her, I was like, well, I don't write that genre. I don't write that trope. She was just like, well, I mean, what's the worst that happened? Either we're going to make it or we're not. You know what I'm saying? But it's about, you know, it's going to be an experience. And it was. And it was a lot of work. A lot.
I bet.
It was like, but you know, we had a really, really great group of authors that were just in that box set. And I'm gonna just tell you, because I felt like I was like, don't nobody know me in this community, because the IR community is, it's small, you know, the IR community
yeah.
is small, but they're like ferocious, you know what I'm saying? Like they mm-hmm. they like who they like. They read who they read, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
I felt like with those group of authors, I was like, I told my sister, I was like, I don't have the readers that they had. My audience was different because I didn't mm-hmm. write IR.
Okay.
And yeah, I did not write IR actually before Sips of Irish Cream. So I was like, I just got to bring it. Like, I've got to
cancel. Follow something else. You brought it.
I was just like, I've got to channel something so I will be able to hang, you know. So I was just like, I'm just going to write what I write, and
exactly.
They like it or they don't, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And that is awesome. I love that whole series. That was amazing from the time you guys started advertising till it actually dropped. You know, I was like keeping up with it. I even joined the group because I was like, wait a minute. Everybody's got these characters and they all fit into this world. And it's just, I love the way you guys did that.
And that whole thing was actually the brainchild of Kenya Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a lot of us who were actually in the box set, we did not know that until we actually made the list. And, you know, there were thank yous all around. So a lot of us didn't know mm-hmm. that was her brainchild. But and you will not believe, like, the people who said, we're not going to do this. You know, it's a bunch of women of color, authors of color, doing this box set. Y'all are not going to make it. You're not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And
I guess you guys showed them.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, comments like, you know, in order for you to make USA Today's list, you know, you've got to join, you know, majority white authors to do it. It was a lot. Like,
wow.
I mean, we were hearing a lot of stuff. And for us to actually just be on that list, I won't forget. I was at work when I found out. And I just happened to be in the front office, and it was me, and it was the secretary, the data manager, and the principal, and we were just in there talking, and I was like, you know, looking through our author group, and somebody posted, am I reading this right? Is this what I think it is? And then somebody come on, and they were like, confirmed it. They were like, yes, and I just screamed. And I cried, and they were looking at me like I was crazy, because it was challenging. It was very challenging, time consuming. You know, I was doing things that I had never done before. I did not have an art team before
mm-hmm.
this. I had a beta team of three people.
Mm. Hey, sometimes that's
know,
all you need sometimes.
Right. And, you know, and it was like, you know, you need to get a beta team together. An art team together, six more people. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I don't know six people, you know. And it was, you got to do author swaps. you know, newsletter swaps. And at the time, like, I didn't even have, like, I was just establishing my newsletter. Mm-hmm. And so I had, like, 60 people on my newsletter list, you know. And I was like, I don't even know, you know, I don't know people. Just I swap with my sister, you know, newsletters, me and her swapped. And I was like, you know, posting in a group that I was in, and I was like, oh, my God, I just need, like, I mean, and we were having to do swaps, like, you know, a swap a month, sometimes more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And people don't know, you know, like, you do these buy swaps, like, swaps become expensive.
Yes.
When they
can be.
Yes, like, they... Oh, yeah, like, they become expensive when you've got, you know, 20 buy swaps, you know, lined up, and you're buying mm-hmm. on Nook and Apple and Amazon and Kobo, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, so people just don't know the effort and what goes into doing something like this. I mean, promoting in 15 groups a week when you got a 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
and there were times, and I got a 7:30 to 4:00. You know, but sometimes I don't get home because my kids play sports. So you're mm-hmm. talking about I'm at practices and games, and, you know, and I've got to take the time out sitting at my baseball game to promote this book in 15 groups, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it was stuff like that, like the behind-the-scenes stuff people just don't know. Like I said, it's a lot of work, and just to see everything just come to fruition was really great. I mean, even, you know, we did a Patreon, and I had never heard of that. I didn't know what it was.
Oh, yeah.
All I know is, okay, here goes my sexy scene number one. Here goes my sexy scene number two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and my friend was like, I was like, oh, my God. And I love Kelly to death. We actually were signed to a publishing company together that went bankrupt.
Oh,
and,
no.
That's kind of how I knew her. So, and I'm like, look, read this right quick. You know, and she was like, did you know this was a Fade to Black? And I was like, you lying. I don't write no Fade to Black. And I never write Fade to Black. I said, you lied. I said, girl, you lied. I ain't writing no Fade to Black. And I read it, and I was like, oh, shit. I done wrote a book called Fade to Black. Let me go back and change. Because that's not what I write, and that's not what my readers expect of me. I don't write Open Door. Like, I don't. And I was like, shit, let me go change that. I was like, because I can't be doing no Fade to Black, child. He might put it to sleep,
but
he ain't doing no Fade to Black. So that it was a good experience. It was a really, mm-hmm. really good experience. And I appreciate those authors that already had that title that came in with us and helped us push it. So I'm just trying to pay it forward. So right now I'm in another list room.
Okay.
And I think it's me and one other author that actually are USTA authors. So if I can help somebody else push,
mm-hmm.
you know, push somebody else over and get the title, absolutely, because, you know, I was helped. So
mm-hmm.
It was just a really good experience. Yeah, it was a really good experience. And Paolo was a challenge for me, girl. He was a challenge because I had never written hadn't written anything to date like that, except I have a character named Stephen Smith. Mm-hmm. He's in my A Billionaire's Heart book, and he was a villain. Mm-hmm. But he was a villain that you couldn't help but love, and he was kind of my prototype for Paolo. Yeah. So writing his book really helped me push the ruthlessness,
mm-hmm.
because that was just something that I hadn't written before. But Stephen's book kind of helped me push the ruthlessness for what Paolo's character needed to be.
Okay.
And kind of in turn with Paolo and some of the stuff that happened in his book helped me when I wrote toward the end of, this is like Irish Cream and tumbling mm-hmm. into Taste Like Irish Cream, because those brothers don't start out in the mob, but they end
right.
up in the mob.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So you're saying that the mafia was like a stretch for you? And now, were you
it
able
was.
To
it
pick
was.
Your own characters, or did you guys, were you assigned characters, or?
No, specifically for Savage Bloodline, we picked our own characters. It's just everybody's name, last name had to be DeLuca.
Okay.
And we had to pick the city in which they were going to be operating out of. So if you read the box set, you know that not
yes.
everybody in
everybody
the box set
the
was
same
a
city.
Capo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody was in the same city, and not everybody was the capo of the city either.
Okay.
And then everybody just had, like, you know, different situations. We covered a lot of tropes with that particular box set.
Mm-hmm.
We had fairy tale retelling, we had arranged marriage, even a lot of the books didn't, and actually, and I'm going off of some of my readers because they've inboxed me about, you know, some of the books, and I tell them, don't tell me, because I personally have not read the box set yet.
Okay.
Because I don't have time. So I've read.
You may have to just like
story.
Yeah, let them read
yes.
it to you. So, you know, it's like you're because
yeah.
I think you can do that on Kindle. You can actually let it, you know, read to you while you're
yeah.
doing something else. So
oh cool,
that's,
like the
yeah that's how
that
I finished to
read.
Say
oh okay yeah oh I got to look into that then. But the only story that I have read has been my sister's, and her character was Carmine DeLuca.
Okay.
And that's only because I read all of her stuff before it goes to the editor. So,
you get a first-hand look.
That, yeah, I get first-hand look at everything she writes. And it's vice versa. She gets a first-hand look at everything I write. You know, it's that iron sharpens iron kind of thing. Like
yes.
She goes through my books, cuts them up like, you know, no, you can't say that. We're going to move this right here. You know, so, and I do the same
mm-hmm.
for her.
Nice.
But we ended up, we just covered a lot of tropes with this box set. And I think that's kind of what made it, on top of the fact that it was all authors of color, but I think
mm-hmm.
that's kind of what made it so unique, because even though, it was mafia romance, you still got to see, like, each
mm-hmm.
author writing in their wheelhouse, what they are known for writing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that was really unique with the box set.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So I know you said it was the brainchild of Kenya, right? Did you actually, like, have to create the world or the city that they lived in?
that was actually the easy part. The only thing that we had to make sure that we did was read the prequel, Brutal mm-hmm. Bloodline, because yes. that set the stage
for the rest of, yeah.
the family moving into a new era with a new dawn.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
And not everybody mentioned, you know, the funeral in their book. I did, because I wanted Paolo to be a part of
yes.
that changing of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Carmine, who is my sister's character, Courtney Dean's character,
mm-hmm.
he was in jail at the time. He was in prison at the time.
Okay.
So just everybody just brought their own, you know, uniqueness to it. But the only thing that we were actually required to read in advance was Brutal Bloodline. And we ended up making like this little like family tree kind of thing behind
mm-hmm.
the scenes where you could see like where each character landed on the family tree. For
tree.
Example, my characters, yeah, like my characters, Paolo's father
mm-hmm.
Was actually Don Hermanos, who is the Don
mm-hmm.
that passed away,
right.
brother.
Okay.
So we all kind of did that just to kind of keep the storyline straight
going,
and
yes.
where nobody
mm-hmm.
was using, you know, everybody else's characters and stuff like that. So thought that was pretty cool. We used whatever city we were, like my person was Miami, so I kind of
mm-hmm.
His nightclub was fashioned after an actual Miami nightclub.
Okay.
The way it was set up, and I added like the little basement part. Like I added that.
Okay.
yeah. I've tried to capture like the diversity of Miami with the music that was played
mm-hmm.
in the club. Like when I first talk about Nightshade. Club Nightshade, I talk about how some nights there's, you know, hip-hop, then other nights there's Cuban music. You
mm-hmm.
know, I tried to bring in the diversity of Miami that way.
Oh, yes.
There's
lots of Cubans in Miami.
And, yes, and then on top of, you know, the Red Barons are my Hispanic gang that I introduced, which they'll be popping up again in future writing.
Okay.
But I just try to kind of show Miami's diversity that way,
mm-hmm.
Because it is a very, very diverse city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that was awesome. I thought that was wonderful how you set that up.
Thank you.
And it, you know, it's just,
so, yeah.
I felt each one, yeah, that I read, it's just like it just rolled into the next. And I did not know Courtney Dean was your sister. I would have never guessed
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah.
I love her
yes.
stuff, too. I was like, oh, okay.
But, you know, as you can see, we have very different writing styles.
But yes, you do. You do. But that's what's interesting
yes.
about all of the authors that write interracial romance or even African-American
mm-hmm.
romances, we all have different styles. And it
mm-hmm.
does, you know,
mm-hmm.
so we can't even lump each other in a group because we're all different.
And
we
all
have
different
points of view.
Different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes for great writing. So, that you know,
yeah,
there, and there's no competition.
Was...
At least
right,
not I haven't felt
right.
any competition.
Right. I haven't either. I can say that about... you know, and I kind of stumbled into the IR
mm-hmm.
community because that's not what I started out writing. And actually, I just think of myself as, you know, just eclectic writer. I was an eclectic reader. There was not just one genre or just one
right.
type of author that that I read, because you put a J.S. Scott book in front of me,
and
I'm going to devour it. Yes, but at the same token, you put a Brenda Jackson book in front of me, I'm going to devour it. You know,
okay. If
you put a Jessica Cage book in front of me, I'm going to devour it. And at the same time, you put a T.S. Joyce book in front of me, I'm going to devour it. So
right.
I read, you know, I read everything. I read, it doesn't matter. And I feel like the our community is one of the most accepting communities as far as writers go, because they don't care how new you are. They're going to try you out. You know what I'm saying? And that was one of the things that I found out with Sips of Irish Cream, because that was truly, Sips of Irish Cream was my first IR. And it, like I mentioned earlier, it happened by accident. I was invited to write in this series of books, and it was called the Shop Series.
Okay.
That was the brainchild of Tiffany, I know I'm not going to say her name right, so I'm going to say her author name, Tiffany Carby.
Oh, okay.
And, because I'm not going to say her real name right. So her author name is Tiffany Carby, and it was by invite only. And they just happened to have a spot open, and I was like, okay, fine. I had done one book in the series previously in the Soda Shop series, but this one was the Coffee Shop series. So our requirements were that we had to pick a flavor of coffee, and we had to use that flavor in our title and somewhere in the book.
Okay.
My favorite coffee flavor is Irish cream.
Irish cream.
That's my favorite.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So I was like, okay, what am I going to do with this? So I already knew I wanted my setting to be a coffee shop. And I was like, okay, so I've got this Irish cream flavor. So automatically my head just went to, okay, I'm just going to write about a white guy.
That's awesome.
You know, now,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of really honestly how I stumbled into the IR community. And originally Roy Murphy was the only book that I was going to write. I had no plans of writing a series. It was just going to be just for coffee shop series, and that was it, just that one book. And as I started writing, and then, like, his brothers just started kind of, they weren't taking over, but they were just kind of forming.
Right.
They weren't, you know, they weren't just characters that I mentioned. And I was like, dang, now I got to write two more books.
Right. Well, they got to have their own story. Yes.
Yeah, because, that's how things turned out. Like, they had especially with Brendan, because Brendan, who is the MC for Kisses, Brendan,
it's kind of a wild child.
Like, he was already like the outlier. Like, he was the black sheep. You know, he was the one that just had no direction whatsoever. He didn't know, he wasn't as successful as his brothers. Of course, he got tied up with the mob, not even knowing
that he was
what he was doing, you know. And so for me, even though I know traditionally for something like what I was about to step into, the older brother is the one who takes the lead, but for me, because Brendan had no purpose before that, and he was the black sheep, he was the outlier, Liam was so against anything mob, for me, Brendan was just a no-brainer. He was the one that was going to be the leader of the new O'Malley clan in Boston. Mm-hmm. That was just kind of how that formulated. And then going into Liam's book, because of his natural personality,
mm-hmm.
He was going to fit right in, regardless of the fact that he was so against it. Felt like with his moody and brooding personality, he was just mm-hmm. He was like quintessential mob.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I will say that probably one of my favorite parts for both of those books, because it's not in Roy's book, because mm-hmm. at when I wrote Roy's book, I had no intention of those boys being mob. It's kind of sort of happened.
Nice.
But one of the most beautiful scenes for me for Kisses and Taste is their initiation.
Okay.
I researched Irish folklore, myths, like things that
nice.
Were important to, Irish tradition, and
mm-hmm.
I created that whole initiation scene from that. And I just felt that to me was that I'm probably the proudest of that, because it was something that I just totally like created from scratch.
Yeah.
There was nothing, there that would, like, it wasn't a part of something that I had read.
Right.
It was just something that totally came from me. And so I'm probably most proud of that scene in both
those books. Yes, definitely. Well, you should
mm-hmm.
be, just from what I've seen. And I just even reading the blurb, it's like, oh, I have to finish this. But, I mean,
oh,
they
God,
sound so exciting, all three
blurb.
Of them. I know, everybody does. I'm not crazy about
it. I hate it. And I'm working on trying to get my blurb shorter.
Yes.
Because that's been my thing. Like, I want to tell everything. Like, oh, my God, I thought that my blurb for my vampire book was not going to fit on the back of the back of the book because it's so long. But, it was what had just poured out. Like, I had no trouble writing that particular blurb. It just
mm-hmm.
poured out. And I was like, oh, my God, it's so long. Like, who's going to read this?
Well, they may as well read the book after a while.
But I was like, and then, too, it was funny with that because, and I know I'm kind of bouncing. We're not supposed to be talking about the other book.
No,
but,
this is awesome. Go ahead. Go with the flow.
Just writing in general, that book, actually, that was another book that I had no intention of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Mallory was just kind of sitting on my shoulder, poking me like, you going to write my book? You going to write
yep.
my book?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I had
will
no
do that.
Intention of writing. Yes, I had no intention of writing his book, but when I wrote the blurb, the book was in third person. I wrote the book in third person, but the blurb was coming out in first person. And I was like, yes. And I rewrote it in third person and read it, and I just hated it. I hated it. I was like,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be first person. And I, at the time, I was still with my publisher, and we have a little authors group, and I put in the group, I was like, has anybody ever read a blurb that was in first person or ever written one that
oh,
was
yeah.
in first person? Because at the time I hadn't, but I know there's plenty out there now because I've read a couple. But
yes.
But I hadn't read a couple where the book was actually written in a different point of view. than the bar. So that was different. And they were like, and a couple of people answered. And they were like, no, 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 no. And I was like, shit, what am I going to do?
Stand out above the crowd. But, that's what you do. Go with your first mind.
But it didn't seem right being in third person to me. So that mm-hmm. blurb is in first person.
Nice.
But the book is in third.
Yeah, but they still get an insight into what the character's thinking when you have a blurb like that. So even though it's third person, that point of view from that particular character is what kind of probably sells, you know, the book, I would think.
Yeah.
Because you get a glimpse inside his head. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And definitely because my vamps in my PNR world are so different. He is different. I'll say he is different, not vamps, period. But he is different in the fact that, you know, there are things that he never learned because someone killed his maker too early for him to learn everything that he needed to learn. And I start his book actually out. He is, you know, one of the best warriors in his tribe, in his African tribe. And I go through, you know, what happened to him during the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
And how his maker finds him. And there are things about his maker that he didn't understand and never got mm-hmm. the chance to, you know, talk to him about it. And I even go as far as Mala, when he was mm-hmm. turned Malaric, mm-hmm. but Malaric wanting to come to the United States and his maker saying no because it's not safe for our kind. Not
right.
our kind being vampires, but our kind.
Our kind being
African.
African.
Yes. Because at the time in the South, in that particular section of the book, we were slaves.
Slaves.
But I just kind of wanted to show like all of the different spans and centuries that he lived, that Mallory lived in the book. And I had to do something because in my first book of that series, he actually, you know, the main character, Darren, finds out that Mallory knew his parents, and that was something mm-hmm. that his parents had never told him. And both of his parents passed away before they could even give the explanation as to how they met. So Mallory's book kind of talks about that. You know, he said, you know, Darren comes to see him. He's like, okay, you know my parents. Can you tell me about them? And Mallory's kind of like, I don't even know where to start. So Darren just says, you know, start from the beginning. And he does. Mm-hmm. He tells him how he becomes a vampire, how he, you know, comes to the United States, how he meets his mother, relationship with his father, all of this. And then what Mallaric sees for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a really good time writing that book.
That does sound really interesting. What's the name of it?
It's called Mallaric.
Oh, okay, Mallaric.
Yes,
I'm gonna click
Mallaric.
To that one.
So that's my only. I've got three PNRs. Those are my mm-hmm. That's my only series. The Hybrid Wars, then Mallaric, and then it's Their Lioness, Her Wolves, and that's my first. That book is my first male-female-male book.
Okay.
So that one was really fun to write, too.
Oh, yeah. Those are always fun, right?
Yeah,
you can kind of use their
really
more
fun.
Of your imagination, unless you've actually experienced that.
yes.
I mostly try to write from experience, so.
So yeah, that was it, and that was what the challenge was, because I had to be very particular about positions and what that was going to look like.
Exactly.
Yes, because like, is that really possible?
Possible? Yes. See, that's when you have to try things out, because real life becomes stranger than fiction. So I can always tell when an author has actually experienced this, because they're like, if it's in their imagination, they do stuff like that. That's not going to work like that.
Right. Right. Even when you're writing sex scenes like that, whether you experience those things or not, like for me, I definitely have to be like, okay, so he's got his hand here, you know, she's got her leg there. Like, but I have to, I can't see it, or the way I wrote it, it just is dumb in my head. Like, when I try to picture, okay, I got to rewrite that.
Yeah. The best part is just trying to see it in your head. It's like, okay, so that arm can go there. So he can be behind her here, you know. And what's the other guy doing? Okay, he's over there. Yeah.
Because like,
some guys, they don't like to touch,
is
right?
Is he just chilling in the corner in the chair? Like,
whether he's a cheerleader standing at the top or what?
Right. So, but I did. I had really good fun writing that book. And as I was writing that book, I kind of got inspiration to write another PNR series that I haven't in my head, but it's been in my head for a long time, because I know if I start writing on it, the things that I have to write that I have contract for, like I'm not gonna write those, because I'm gonna be so immersed in this PNR series, because like I said earlier, like PNR is like my first love. Like,
Right. So I can relate there.
Yes, you can. Yes. So my sister tells me all the time, girl, you write that shifter and that PNR stuff a whole lot better than you write everything else. She says that's my bag, you know, that's my jam.
Yep. That's right.
So
it's awesome, because I don't really get to meet a lot of authors who actually have PNR books. So have written either interracial, or I love to hear about African. That's why I said I like to hear about your African vampires, because I mean that does it for me. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, I got to see that now. It's like,
Yes, like I said, Mallory's book wasn't even supposed to happen. He was a character that I introduced in the first book, and I was going to leave him alone, and I was going to just go on into Their Line Is Her Wolves, and that was going to be the second book in the series, and then the third book in the series was going to be about the corner.
Right.
His name was Branson, and he was a panther shifter, and he was going to be the third book.
Nice.
And Mallory was just sitting there like, what's up?
Yeah. I need to have my own book.
Yeah, he was just like, what are you going to do with me? And I think it might have took me 3 weeks to write his book. It's around about 25K, if that. It's not that long, but it took me that long to write them. And I can see in the future probably doing a series from his coven. But right now I've just got so much else on my plate. My sister and I just... Yeah, my sister and I just launched a series, a BDSM series.
Ooh.
Called Club Desire.
Now you're in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I wish I'd have known that. But we got two seasons now, so you got two more seasons,
okay.
So you let me know.
Yeah, definitely.
You let me know.
I did my my current release, Wolf Daddy, is actually a BDSM romance. So, yeah.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
But it had werewolves. Did our COVID review. Yeah.
Okay.
But that, now I will say this now, that is so far out of my house. I was putting off for a long time. I was like, I'm not ready to start this book yet because I'm terrified because I'm not reading anything like that. Now, do I think the story is great? Because mm-hmm. the characters are good. Like Gino DeLuca,
yes.
who is Paolo's cousin and
yes.
co-owner of Nightshade. Okay, so
uh-huh.
the first Club Desire book is his book.
Okay, nice.
Second,
oh, I like the tie in
Club
there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My second Club Desire book is also a character that I introduced in Paolo's book, and
mm-hmm.
that is Dante Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
And the third, because we have three seasons of Club Desire. So the third season for Club
mm-hmm.
Desire is Franco's book. He's also a character that I introduced in Paolo's book.
Okay.
So right now, those are books that I have to write. But I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you, like, I had to make myself write Gino's book. One, because I didn't want to disappoint my sister, because she was like,
right.
this is what I want to do, and, you know, are you with me? And of course I'm going to say, yes,
mm-hmm.
that's my sister, you know?
Yeah, well, exactly.
But I was like, oh, God, what have I done?
Like, what did I get into, right? Well, before we lose some time, I know your new release is a very
mm-hmm.
Murphy Christmas, which is coming out on the 11th, I believe.
Yeah.
So before we lose any more time, you can tell us a little bit about that, the Murphy Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that hour went by fast. A very Murphy Chris, and I'm going to just be honest. Again, I had no plans of writing a very Murphy Christmas, but I was just thinking about that gap. Like, the last book that I released was Paolo, because
mm-hmm.
Tastes Like Irish Cream came out a week before Paolo came out.
Okay.
And I was writing, what I was writing was not to be released until next year. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've got three stories written already that are released in next year. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I was working on. And I told my sister, I said, God, I said, that's a big gap from August to February.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got to write something. And I thought, I was like, well, I think I'll release a Christmas book. I said, let me try that. And because the Murphys were so the Murphys were so fresh in my head, I decided to do kind of like a Christmas gathering where you're just catching up with everybody after their books. Because I do try to mention, you know, Roy and Laisha and Brendan and Ashaya in Liam's book. I try to, you know, keep the reader abreast as to what's happening with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like, and I listened in some of the, I got emails from some of the readers that were like, you know, when is, you know, is Maurice going to get a book? Maurice is getting a book. So they were
mm-hmm.
like, if Maurice gets a book, I want Uncle Connor to have a book. Lana's got to get her story. And I'm just like, look, now I ain't writing all these books. So
I'm going to have to wait.
So I decided to kind of catch the reader up on everybody and do it during Christmas. So you get to know what's happening with Rory and Brendan and Liam and Rena and, you know, Ashai and Laisha. And I do throw in
I like how they were sisters.
Twins.
That was, twins, I like that.
So I throw in chapters for Uncle Connor. He has a chapter, and Colin has a chapter, and Lana has a chapter. So I tried, you know, not giving them their book, but, you know, trying to give the reader what they wanted.
Exactly.
I think that although this is, it was different for me because this is the first book that I've written that does not have sex in it.
Okay.
I think that's not going to matter because people just really want to know what's happening
with them. Yes.
Yeah, they just want to know. So that's what I try to do. I try to let them know what's happening with everybody. There are some surprises in there. That I throw in. Of course, you know, we already know that Maurice is getting his book anyway because it's in Liam's book. I tend to try to do that.
Right.
I give at least in each book. I give that main character a chapter. So Maurice's book is actually going to be in an anthology that's coming out in February, the Shades of Love anthology.
Shades of Love. Okay. Well, before we end the show, I would like you to take a couple of minutes and give our listeners where they can find you, if you have a website or your social media.
Yes. All right. So I am on Facebook, Tamika Brown. I am on Twitter, Tamika Brown Books. I just got a TikTok a little while ago, so I'm still trying to learn TikTok. So I'm Tamika Brown 31 on TikTok. I do have an IG. I am Charisma 5_1913. Shout out to the devastating divas of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Nice.
So those are my social medias. I also have a website where you can order book boxes from me and signed paperbacks.
Nice.
In the book boxes, you'll get a lot of goodies along with a signed paperback. And that is www.authortamikabrown.com.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, you heard it here. Oh, you have a reader's group. Okay, tell us about that real quick.
I do. I have a reader's group. I forgot about that. My reader's group on Facebook is Tamika Brown's Book Oasis. So, you know, just hop in there. We shits and giggles. That's what we do.
Yep. I got in there, so.
Yeah.
Well, I am excited to have you, and I'm glad that you came on the show because you have, like, a wonderful list of books. So even more so than I knew. I had to collect, okay. Because I hadn't, you know, I just, when you asked, you know, if I was interested, I'm like, ooh, okay, let me look up her. I was like, wow. So so thank you for coming on the show and sharing with
thank
us
you for
your,
having me.
Your books. Oh, anytime. You're welcome to come back anytime and, you know, tell us what's happening in the world of mafia there. Okay. Well, thank you all for tuning in tonight. And as always, I wish you peace. Blessings and love, and you all have a good evening, and we'll see you next time.
Yay, bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silvering, on Blog Talk Radio, mahoganysilvering.net. Thank you and good night.